Earlier this year in Arena, we looked back at one of the 20th century's most significant and celebrated musical moments, the Miles Davis album, Kind of Blues. 60 years old this year, released on Columbia, his home for the bulk of his career. That album confirmed Davis as one of the all-time greats of jazz music. But the 1980s, Miles Davis had gone through many musical incarnations, as well as personal struggles, drug use. But in the final few years of his career, up to his death in 1991, he experimented with fresh directions on his label Warner Music. His first scheduled album from that label was shelved in 1985, but those tapes re-emerged recently and the resulting album has now been released by Warner's. It's called Rubber Band, and trumpeter Ryan Quigley has spent some of his weekend listening to it. He's with me in studio. We'll speak to him in a minute. But first of all, let's have a sample. It's been referred to as the Lost Album. We'll get the reason for that now shortly. Let's have a listen to the opening track, which is called Rubber Band of Life. If you wanna win, Band of Life, the title of the opening track on the, I don't know whether to call it the new Miles Davis album or not, but trumpeter Ryan Quigley will help me with that one. It's been referred to as the Lost Album. I suppose you can't really market the shelved album of 1985, Ryan. Doesn't quite catch the ear as much, does it?
No, it doesn't. Abba just called it the shelved album, just for the crack.
Why was it shelved? Why was it a lost album back in 1985?
I don't know very much about this album. I've only just heard about it, obviously, and just kind of recently checked out a little bit. I believe the label lost a bit of patience with the production of it because they were looking to try and get people like Chaka Khan and to guest on it, but that didn't happen. And the production of it seemed to drag on and drag on, and I think, you know, from what I understand, the label kind of just lost a bit of patience and just thought,
we're not doing it, because the singer we heard there, Ladisi, so, and several of the names that we hear across this album, they're names, but they're big names possibly in the jazz world, maybe not the sort of catchment that somebody like Chaka Khan would have had.
No,
Chaka Khan and Miles Davis, I mean, I'm buying that record today.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was what the problem was here. Marketing it was just too difficult.
I guess so. And like I say, I think just the time frame of it, just they just maybe just lost patience and just kind of moved on.
Yeah.
To great success, obviously, because the, you know, it was 2-2 came out and all that sort of stuff.
Subsequent,
you know?
Yeah. And Al Jarreau, I think, was supposed to be on this as well, but
yeah,
that never happened either. So the Miles Davis that we're getting here, in fact, let's go back a little bit, and, you know, because the name Miles Davis is often bandied about as this, you know, great innovation, this great innovator in terms of jazz music and Kind of Blue, obviously being one of the most important aspects of that innovation. But if I were to say to you, you know, as a trumpeter, what did Miles Davis do that others weren't doing up to that point? I mean, if I know you brought the trumpet in, and I asked you before.
Well, I mean, Miles Davis, you've got to remember, spanned basically the history of jazz pretty much from bebop onwards. So he was like a monstrous bebop player when he was really young in Charlie Parker's band and Billy Eckstine's band.
We're talking the 50s there, are we?
So, you know, playing with Sarah Vaughan, Billy Eckstine, Charlie Parker, and then branching out on his own. And then, you know, the first big bang for him in jazz would have been Birth of the Cool, which was really different from what was going on. And then obviously went on to do the mentions, the records that you mentioned, Kind of Blue. And then again, you know, there was a big event when a Miles Davis record came out, Sketches of Spain, Porgy and Bess, you know, Four and More, which is an amazing live album. I mean, these are all kind of really seminal jazz records in their own right. You know, if you're lucky if you release one.
Yeah, well, in fact, now you've mentioned Porgy and Bess, so why don't we kill two birds with the one stone, in fact? Because you're working on Porgy and Bess with the RT Concert Orchestra at the moment.
I am.
And that's a reasonably straightforward or straight version of Porgy and Bess that you'll be playing on Wednesday night.
It's the kind of amazing Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong records that the scores have been lost, amazingly. So I've kind of recreated all the music.
But these were truly lost, not like the Miles Davis album, not put shelved.
Yeah, they weren't shelved. Well, if they were shelved, they've forgotten where the shelf is.
So look, maybe what you would do then is, let's take a tune from Porgy and Bess. Is that doable? And give us a sound of, here's, if you like, you know, the kind of the standard, the Louis Armstrong style interpretation of a Porgy and Bess tune. Mm-hmm. But here's what Miles Davis would have done with it. In fact, might have done with it on this Porgy and Bess.
Okay, so Summertime's quite bad one. So I'll give a blast of that.
Let's have a listen to Summertime. So this is the kind of the straight version first.
Well, this is me doing a bad impression of Louis Armstrong, then going into a bad impression of Miles Davis. So people are going to have to bear with that.
Okay.
That was the bad Louis Armstrong.
Reasonably good Louis Armstrong. No handkerchief, but anyway, off we go.
So when Miles did this, he, and certainly the way he played most music in that style, you'll hear the difference, I guess.
Stuff. So that's the kind of the Miles Davis-y kind of take on it.
In a nutshell, so Miles used much less vibrato. He used different types of inflection.
And slightly, the way he plays across the beat is different as well. And I suppose what we're getting there is a kind of a bebop heading towards funky type of interpretation.
Yeah, possibly you could maybe argue that. He certainly stripped a lot of things away from the way music was played. You know, in the kind of swing era, he took a lot of the vibrato out. He took a lot of the kind of, I don't want to say tricks, but he just changed the kind of concept of playing the trumpet. He simplified it and stripped it down to the bare bones of music, which was quite a thing.
So when we get to this new or lost album, Rubber Band, do we get it? Do we get that brought to its kind of to its end point, if you like? Because this is quite late on in Miles Davis' career.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Miles is certainly towards the end. He was a guy who, he wasn't just a trumpet player. He was a kind of facilitator of sound. He was a facilitator of music. It wasn't just about playing the trumpet for him, because, you know, a lot of people say he kind of transcends trumpet playing. He's not really a trumpet player as such. He happens to play the trumpet, but he plays music.
Even as we were listening to that first track, you were kind of saying, it's just an odd little phrase that he drops in, but I suppose he'd reached that point in his career because that was all he needed to do.
And that's what he wants to do. And, you know, people criticise him for not, you know, going back and playing the old standards of the day and all that. But as I think I saw an interview with Keith Jarrett, and he said Miles Davis would rather play in a bad band playing bad music that had never been played before than playing in a great band playing stuff that he'd done already.
A million times. He wasn't interested in repetition. The final track on the album is actually called Rubber Band. Should it have been a lost album, or are you happy that it's out there from what you've been listening to so far?
No, I'm happy. I've only dipped into it briefly because I'm kind of up to my eyes in writing, which is why I look like a shell of my former self at the moment. But I like it.
Yeah.
From what I've heard so far, you know, because I'm a massive Miles Davis fan anyway, so I'm probably a bit rose-coloured glasses, but I think anything by people like that is valid to hear it.
Yeah,
you know?
And when does his concert end, you'll spend more time with Miles Davis.
Yeah, again, yeah.
Closing track there, Rubber Band, from the so-called lost album of Miles Davis, which is also called Rubber Band. Ryan Quigley speaking to us about that album, new album, recorded in 1985, released just last Friday from Warner Music. And Ryan and the RT Concert Orchestra with those, that version of Porgy and Bess, the Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald version, National Concert Hall on Wednesday. Sold out, you tell us, Ryan.
Yeah, but sold being, out a few weeks ago.
Being recorded for a subsequent broadcast, we hope, at some point along the way. So we will watch out for that.